More than 300 years ago, fleets of Spanish galleons set sail from the waters off the Americas to bring back vast amounts of treasure from the New World, including gold, silver, and gemstones. On July 31st, 1715, a powerful hurricane devastated 11 of those ships, sending the vessels and their precious cargo to the ocean floor. Some 700 people drowned, and the wreckage today is spread across 40 miles off of Florida's eastern coast. The so-called 1715 Treasure Fleet lay untouched for more than two centuries off the coast of Florida until the sunken ships were finally discovered. And there's now a group of treasure hunters that says they have recovered more than 200 silver coins and artifacts from the iconic wrecks. The group exploring the shipwrecks from their boat called the Lily May recently retrieved a total of 214 coins and other artifacts from the 1715 treasure fleet. This was a remarkable discovery, considering the wrecks had been surveyed countless times before. And just recently, in 2020, a treasure hunter using a metal detector on a beach located 22 silver coins from the legendary shipwrecks. And just recently, in 2015, some treasure hunters announced that it had found 350 gold coins worth an estimated $4.5 million from the sunken shipwrecks. And I'm told from these shipwrecks that the wreckage from these shipwrecks hundreds of years ago is buried underneath the sand. Sometimes, some places 10 feet deep, it's buried underneath the sand over years and years of sand washing. And you can, and they have machines, when they find these treasures, they have machines that go in there and they suck out the sand and they blow the sand out and somehow they find treasure. I don't know how they do it, but they find this treasure from hundreds of years ago that was sunken in off the coast of Florida. And you can see pictures and you can see artifacts and coins and different things online of this wreckage that was found. So today, people would say that there's $700 million worth of treasure yet laying there underneath the ocean floor off the coast of Florida. So the question is, how many of you want to go on a treasure hunt? Shall we go and find this $700 million worth of this treasure is still buried underneath the sand and off the coast of Florida? If I would say to you this morning, I have a very good chance of a very good chance of finding this treasure. I have a GPS coordinates and I can pretty much pinpoint exactly where it's at. How many of you would go with me and we'd go on this treasure hunt to find this lost treasure? I don't know how many of you would, but you would need scuba gear, you would need shovels to dig into the sand, and you'd have a very good chance of finding it. You could have part in the treasure. You could have whatever it's worth, millions of dollars. Would you go with me? I'm assuming there are some of you probably would. I don't know. But something like that, a treasure, to find a treasure like that worth millions of dollars would be valuable to some of us, wouldn't it? I mean, we could take off of work, look at what you could do with all that extra money. And I'm curious to know how many here have ever found a lost treasure. I'm not going to open it up, but it'd be interesting to see how many of you have actually found a treasure that was worth something valuable. And why do we value treasures? Why do we value treasures? And so the title of the message is A Treasure Worth Living For. And I don't know if you remember, Jim had a message back this summer after Bible school on treasuring God's Word. And what a treasure that is. If we treasure God's Word, what a treasure that is. And I don't know what all the verses that Jim went to, but this morning I want to look at some Bible verses on treasure. Before I do that, I have with me a treasure chest. So this is what you call a treasure chest. I'm not sure how many of you have a treasure chest. Some of you might have the real big ones, but this is a treasure a treasure chest, and I asked the girls to put in this treasure chest some treasures that they would value, or things that they would value as a treasure. So I'm going to look through these here briefly. Some of these, one here is a shell, seashell, found on the beach. There's a little conch shell here, another little treasure that you'd want to put in a little chest like this. Let's see what else we have in here. Another type of conch shell. There's another shell here, conch shell that has the Lord's Prayer on here. And I'm told that this here was found on the beach with the Lord's shell. That's quite a treasure. This conch shell with the Lord's Prayer written on it was found on the beach. That's an incredible treasure there. Some coins, different valuable coins. What else is in here? Silver dollar, that's a pretty valuable treasure. A note from a friend, a good friend. That's a treasure. That's something you'd put in a treasure chest, I believe. So these are treasures that we keep, and we want to keep safe, so we put them into a treasure chest. The meaning of treasure is something that is very valuable things, usually in the form of a store of precious metals, precious stones, or money. So that's something that we would store and set aside something valuable. Is having a treasure wrong? Is it wrong to have a treasure? What is your treasure this morning? I mean, I'm asking myself as well, and I thought it'd be interesting to make us all vulnerable and go around and everybody say what their treasure is, besides family and heavenly things. What is something that we would treasure here on this earth? And I think if we're honest, I think we all have earthly treasures. I believe we all do. And sometimes we treasure them pretty greatly, don't we? You know, there's things that we can treasure on this earth, like money. We talked about money already. Bank accounts. We can put pretty much confidence in bank accounts, right? If we treasure money. What are some other things? Maybe it's our houses. Maybe it's a property. Maybe it's a vehicle. Sometimes we can put pretty good treasure, put pretty good value in a vehicle. Equipment. Maybe it's a degree that we are trying to get. Maybe it's our jobs. And rightly so, especially for us as men who have jobs and are the provider for our families, we treasure our jobs. And hobbies, maybe it's things, whatever it is, it's treasures. Is it wrong? Is it wrong to have a treasure? No, I don't believe it's wrong. It's not wrong. In fact, Jesus knew we would have treasures. He said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so I believe it's not wrong to have a treasure, but it's when that treasure dominates our relationship with Christ. And when we value these things, these treasures, when we value them higher, and we spend more time thinking about these things that we treasure than Christ and the things of His Word. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What's that saying? What is that saying to you this morning? Thinking about the responsibility that we have. We think about earthen vessels. What is it saying in earthen vessels? An earthen vessel. What is an earthen vessel? I believe what it was referring to as the earthen vessel is our bodies. Our bodies as the earthen vessel. And I have an earthen vessel here this morning with me. I guess you could call that as a clay pot. I don't know. thinking of an earthen vessel, something like our bodies are made from dust, right? God created us from dust, from the dust of the earth and the clay of the ground. And you think of a pot that's formed from clay, and I don't know if that pot there is clay or not. It's probably some other material. But I do know that clay pots are very fragile. It doesn't take much for a clay pot to break. If you drop it on the ground or the concrete, it's gonna shatter and break. In fact, this pot here was pretty good shape until we got to church this morning, and I stepped out of the van and the thing fell out on the floor and actually put a crack in it. So that was the illustration. It's pretty fragile. They're clay pots are, and that's kind of like our bodies. Like our bodies are fragile. And Paul's using the illustration here. These earthen vessels, he says, but we have this treasure. What is the treasure that we have to hold in our earthen bodies? The treasure is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the treasure that we have. And we hold it in our bodies to share to the world. We take that message and we share that to the world. And that's the illustration I believe that Paul is trying to get here. That we have the treasure, the message of Christ. And just to think about how God uses our frail bodies like that to send the message. That's quite a responsibility to us as Christians, if you think about it. He's entrusting into us that responsibility to share the message of the gospel to the world. And one thing I just want to point out too, to remember, always remember that it is of God. The power is of God. As it says there, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And when I think of that, saying the power of God and it is not of us, it reminds me of a phrase that sticks out to me in Genesis 41, verse 16. And I'm not even going to mention it, but I was preaching in Shenandoah last Sunday and I spoke on Joseph. And it's the story of Joseph. And Joseph had just been in jail for 2 years. And when the king had this dream, and he dreamed this dream, very bizarre dream, he couldn't understand what it was, and he surrounded himself with all his magicians and his wise men, and he called everybody up and he had a meeting, and he wants to know the meaning of this dream. He cannot understand. I'm sure he could not even focus. This dream was that raw, that much in his mind, he couldn't even focus. So he needed to know the meaning of this dream, so he called everybody around and nobody could know. Nobody knew. And it's just like that, the butler remembered, 2 years ago, there was a Hebrew boy that told us the meaning of our dreams when me and the baker had a dream. He told us the meaning of those dreams, and it came true. It was true. So the king was like, by all means, get him here hastily, it says. It came hastily, brought him in, and the king told Joseph, he said, I'm told that you can tell the meaning of dreams. I'm told that you know the meaning of dreams. You can tell dreams. And Joseph's words, his response was, that's the first thing he said was, it is not in me. It is not in me. And that sticks out to me. I'll never forget that. Because Joseph, he could have made a name for himself. He could have made himself look pretty good. He could have even asked to be out of prison. You know, he could have said, yes, I'll tell you the meaning of the dream, but I want out of this jail, that I'm in here for no reason. I'm not in this jail for anything I did wrong. For 2 years he was in there. And yet, the first thing he says to the king was, it is not in me. And so that is something that we need to remember, that it is of God. Everything we do in this world, every good that we do in this world, it comes from God. It's the power of God working within us. And so Joseph, in that sense, he proved that he was a God-fearing man. And so talk about an earthen vessel, using an earthen vessel for the glory of God. And so again, it is amazing that God can use us frail human beings to give such a powerful message to the world today. What I treasure as supreme will hold my heart. Whatever holds my heart's affections will direct my passions. Wherever my passion is aimed will set my focus. And whatever I am focused is what I am ultimately believing in to give me life. So what do you believe in this morning is going to give you life? I believe that is what ultimately drives our passions. What you believe is going to bring you fulfillment, that is what you're going to be passionate about. What you believe is going to give you life and content and zeal, that is what you're going to be passionate about. So if I believe that I'm going to be fulfilled by getting more money and more possessions and things like that, then that's what I'm going to be passionate about. That's what I'm going to drive for. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to work long, hard hours. And that's what I'm going to be. If my drive is to get more money, then that's what I'm going to be passionate about. And it goes the same way with everything, reading God's word or whatever it may be. If we believe that is what is fulfilling us, then that's what we're going to be passionate about. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Proverbs 15, verse 6 says, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. So what treasure is the psalmist writing about here? He's contrasting the righteous, versus the wicked. He's not saying the righteous are going to be rich and the wicked are going to be poor. It's not necessarily what he's saying. But I believe what he's saying is God is blessing the righteous with treasure, with their needs supplied. And I believe the righteous, he finds treasure in what he has. He finds treasure. He sees the treasures that God has given him. He sees them and he understands that he is blessed and God has blessed him in so many different ways. And we think of Thanksgiving coming up here soon. The righteous person is grateful, is so grateful for what God has given to him, and he's content with what he has. And that's how he sees the treasure that he has. He has much treasure. The righteous is much treasure. But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. And that's the other side of the coin. The revenues of the wicked is trouble. And it's talking of revenues. That's talking of, I believe, income. Thinking of revenue coming in, income. He says, the revenues of the wicked is trouble. And I think of a person who is greedy. Somebody who's always trying to get the gain for himself, and that person is gonna see trouble. He's gonna see the troubles with money, always trying to get more. You know, that person may be worth millions of dollars, but he's always complaining about how bad it is and how hard it is to get more money or whatever it is. Steve Jobs was a billionaire who died at age 56. His last words on his deathbed were this. He said, "I reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life is an epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy. In the end, wealth is only a fact of life that I am accustomed to. At this moment, lying on the sickbed and recalling my whole life, I realize that all the recognition and wealth that I took so much pride in have paled and become meaningless in the face of impending death." And so here's a man that basically his whole life he put into his work. And he even mentioned he doesn't even have joy. Anything besides work and business, he didn't even have joy in. He has very little joy. And so he could see a person like that put his whole life into his work to become successful or whatever, to become wealthy. And then he realized that in the end, it did not matter. And it really didn't matter. And I see today, you know, it's so easy to become, how should I say, infatuated with success or wealth or whatever. And I see social media being a way, an avenue to glamorize that. And it's so easy. It's so easy for us today to be caught up in that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. This is an interesting verse about treasure. Matthew 13, I'm going to read verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. That this verse here kind of puzzles me. I read over this and read over it and over and over again, and trying to figure out what is Jesus trying to say in this verse. This man, he found a treasure, and I don't know how much treasure it was. This is obviously a parable. We got to kind of read between the lines and try to figure out what it's saying. But it's quite a story. He found a treasure somewhere in a field. I don't know where, doesn't say where, but he found this treasure, and he wanted this treasure so bad. It must have been very valuable. I would imagine it was very valuable. He found this treasure, and he actually went and sold every single thing he had and used that money to buy this field, and then he got the treasure. So it's a very interesting story. And, you know, I don't know, but thinking about this treasure that this man found, in this area of Palestine, there was no banks. You didn't have a bank. When you got a paycheck, you didn't have a bank to deposit the money in. So what did you do with the money? So many times people buried the money in a box or whatever it was in the ground. And so they knew where to go. They had a spot that they went to. They could dig this back up again and add more to it or whatever. And so they would bury it because they didn't have any place. They didn't want it just sitting around. So they would bury the treasure. And, you know, many times when a person died and he didn't tell anybody else where this treasure was, there it was in the ground. And the next person would come along and find the treasure and just have some extra money or whatever. But did this man do anything wrong? Did he do anything wrong in selling everything he had and buying the field so he'd get this treasure? Did he do anything wrong? I don't believe he did anything wrong in doing that. He sold legally. Looks like he did everything right. The only thing he may have done is trespassed when he went in to get this treasure in the field. Maybe he was trespassing. I don't know. But it seems like he did everything right, and he bought this field. And you could argue whose treasure was it. Was it his, or was it, especially if the original seller knew where it was at, you know, or knew or forgot about it or whatever, and it was actually his. I don't know, but and so there's differing views on this parable, and different people have different opinions of why Jesus said this. But I want us to look at the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure. And that's the key part. I believe thinking of the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure. And so the treasure, to obtain the treasure, I'm going to think of the treasure as eternal life and salvation in Jesus Christ. And thinking of, you know, we need to give everything up in this life. We need to give up everything, our will, our desires, our flesh, give them up in order to obtain salvation and to follow Jesus Christ, because he asks us that we give up our will and our desires. And that's what I want to think about of this verse. We need to be willing to part with everything in order to obtain the treasure, that treasure of eternal life. And you know, salvation can't be bought. It's not bought. It is offered free. It is a free gift. But there is a cost in a sense that we need to be giving up our will, our own will. We need to give that up, and our flesh to obtain. We need to surrender our will to Christ. And maybe we even need to give up a few treasures that we have on this earth to obtain a treasure that is worth living for. And that is the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. So in closing, I want to go to Colossians chapter 2. And you can turn with me, Colossians chapter 2. So I'm going to read verses, Colossians 2, I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you should underline that or highlight that in your Bibles if you haven't already. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And if we want to go find a treasure, if we're looking for a treasure to find, why go anywhere else than to find it in Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I just want to look a little bit at that one little word, the word hid. In whom are hid all the treasures. Why are God's treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the knowledge and the wisdom that he has, that he provides to each one of us, why are they hid? Why does he hide them from us? Is that what it's saying, that he hides all these treasures from us? You know, I think there's maybe two reasons why, and you might have differing reasons why as well. But I believe one, so we actively seek to find them. He wants us to seek and find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And, you know, it's the same way that we keep treasures safe. We put treasures into a treasure box or whatever. We keep them there. We keep them safe and we keep them hidden. And, you know, Jesus Christ, he offers wisdom and knowledge. He makes it available to each of us who believe, and only to those who believe, only to those who believe and trust in him, and only those of us that desire to seek and find the wisdom and knowledge, and those of us who are actively seeking to find it. But he gives us, it's so readily available, wisdom and knowledge. And so many times we need that every day, don't we? We go throughout our day, our lives, we need wisdom. And many times I pray and ask God for wisdom because we need it. I need wisdom for so many different things. And so to pray, to continually be in prayer, asking God to show us, find where we can find that knowledge and wisdom, and give us wisdom. Seek for it, to find it, and pray and ask God for wisdom and strength. One little phrase I have here at the end, it's a reminder for me and for each one of us here this morning that our life span is so short. And I think about that different times. So many times we seek treasures on this earth. We seek so many things, whatever it is, whatever your treasure is or my treasure is, we will seek, we'll spend so much time seeking for that treasure, and yet our life, the span of our life, is so short in comparison to. And we have to think about that. Think about how short our life is in the span of eternity, or even in the span of the time that the earth has been here, that mankind has been here on this earth. It's just a short little span of time. And we have to think about that and keep that in our thoughts as we go through life. In 100 years, and that's obviously if the Lord tarries and tarries that long, in 100 years, 2024, we all will be buried with relatives and friends. Strangers will live in our homes, which we fought so hard to build. They will own everything we have today. Our descendants will hardly know who we were. How many of us know our grandfather's father? After our death, we will be remembered for a few years, and a few years later, our history, photos, deeds will go into the dust of oblivion. We won't even be memories. Maybe if one day we would stop to analyze these questions, we would understand how foolish it was for us not to take time for the things we enjoy in life and live for the things that matter. And so my encouragement to you is, yeah, take time for the things that you enjoy in life and for the things that matter. And the things that matter, that things that are going to matter in the end, the things that are going to matter for eternity. Because life is so short and our span is so short in this earth. So continue today and every day to seek for treasures where rust does not corrupt, and things that seek treasures for things that have lasting eternal value. So that is my message to us this morning. As we go throughout the week, just keep that in mind and continue to seek treasures that are lasting, that have eternal value. At this time, I'm going to have a prayer, and I'll have a prayer for the meal. And then after that, Lee, if you want to have a closing song, and you can be considered dismissed. So let's all stand for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pause before you again and just thank you for what you've taught us in your word. And we understand that there's so many things that's so easy to become attached to on this earth, and so many treasures that are available to us at our fingertips, and can distract us at times, and can cause us to be not focused on the goal. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to whatever it is, if it's something that we are being distracted, help us to get rid of it, eliminate it, and to focus on you and your word and what you would want for us to build for your eternal kingdom on here on this earth. Lord, you have given us a short time. Help us to make an impact. Help us to impact the lives around us, those around us who don't know you. Help us to spend time and energy focusing on that and things of value. I just pray that you would be with us as we go from here. Lead, guide, and direct us. Lord, I pray, thank you for the meal, the food that is prepared, and I pray that you would bless the trustees, bless all those that have prepared it and put a lot of effort into it. Pray you bless them, Lord, and just lead us and guide us as we go from here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.